Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew.
Sound the battle cry.
Two men.
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause.
Happy Friday, Edwin.
Happy Friday, Andrew.
I'm glad we can be together today.
I am
wrapping
too,
up Revelation 3.
Right. And you know what? Actually wrapping up Revelation 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, today we'll do a little bit different. Rather than having an entire reading right here at the beginning, you know, we've talked about the groom, we've talked about the bride, but there's one particular thing that came up in every letter that I kind of want to go back now and wrap up the whole thing. It's super important. It's the fact that every letter ends with "to him who conquers" or "to him who overcomes."
Yeah, it sure does.
I'd like for us to talk just a little bit about that, especially the promises.
Yeah.
You know, throughout the, as we've talked about the letters, seeing the promises have been really powerful. Mm-hmm. I just like to get the entire picture. So here's the thing. We get to the end of Revelation and we have the conquering king who comes with the sword coming out of his mouth and he's conquering the enemies, the prostitute, the enemy city,
yep,
the monsters, they're all destroyed. And then we come to this wonderful, wonderful wedding feast and we get to see the bride and all of her purity and all of her victory, which is the city of God,
which is the, city,
the new
yeah.
Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. And right here at the very beginning, we are promised, here's the reward that is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, because here's the reward. When we get to that end, we're seeing that reward. But I'd like for us to see it right here, because we need to carry this with us as we go through the entire story of all the battles, of all the struggles, of all the turmoils. Here's the promise that we're hanging on to.
Well, if I can add to that, so many of these letters to the seven churches are very stern. I mean,
sure,
he talks to them about where there's error and sin, and he calls them to repentance. But each one of them ends on such an encouraging and hopeful note. You can overcome. You can overcome in Christ. And look at the reward. Look at the blessing when you do.
Here's why the repentance is worth it.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, one other thing, and basically what we'll do is we're going to go ahead and back up to chapter 2 and read these different passages and talk about them as we go through the seven letters. But real quick, I do want to just point this out. Each time it's "to him who overcomes,"
mm-hmm,
"to the one who conquers." That's battle language.
It is.
That is, the fight is on. And we need to understand that. We've got some neat metaphors, and we're looking at the one metaphor is the groom and the bride, but we also have the metaphor of enemy cities,
yeah,
that are fighting one another. We will be looking at the metaphor of monsters that are attacking cities,
mm-hmm,
as we go through and facing the armies of God. We're going to look at all of that, and we need to understand we are in a war. We are in a battle. And my good friend Sid Latham, I love something I heard him say one time, we are at war, and a good way to die is pretending we're not. And that's the thing that we need to see. You know, in some of the epistles, Satan is the lion, and that's a bad enough picture. In Revelation, he's the dragon.
He's a dragon.
And then there's the beasts that support,
yeah,
him. This is a full-on fight.
Yeah.
But here's why it's worth it to take up the fight. So do you want to start, or you want me to,
yeah,
start with Ephesus? You want to start with Ephesus?
I'll start with Ephesus.
All right, go for it.
Of course, we talked about the church at Ephesus. It was a church that had lost its first love. He calls them to repent and do first works. But when we get towards the end of it, it's Revelation 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Hey, that calls us back to the Garden of Eden. A tree of life.
Yeah.
And when there was sin, the man and his wife were separated from the tree of life, cast out of the garden, this wonderful paradise. And so we see that the one who overcomes in Christ is going to know the joy of paradise, that Eden existence, that perfect fellowship with God, and a fruit of everlasting life.
Yeah. And when we get to the end of this book, remember that city of God, which is the bride coming down out of heaven. Here's the city. There is a river of life. And
mm-hmm,
on each side, there is the tree,
yeah,
of life with its fruit and its seasons. And it's so, again, here's
and
the promise.
People are invited to come and drink freely.
And here's the promise.
Heaven.
Yeah. But especially here, eat from the tree of life. You get,
yeah,
to drink from the river, but here it's eat from the tree of life, which, like you pointed out, Adam and Eve, that was cut off from them.
Yeah.
And so we're, man, what a beautiful, beautiful picture.
Yeah, we've been trying to get back to the tree of life ever since.
All right. So kind of along with that, when he wrote to Smyrna, the church that was going to go through the testing for 10 days, back in chapter 2, verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. This is... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, again, foreshadow to the end of the book,
yeah,
where second death gets explained.
Yes.
This is people being cast into fire, separated from God eternally.
Notice what it does not say. It does not say that we'll be saved from the first death.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things we see through Revelation. And that's part of the problem, is that a lot of times in this battle, in the earthly life, we do die.
Yeah. Antipas is the name,
yes,
of one of these believers we get because he's a faithful martyr. He died.
He's executed. We don't all get delivered from the fiery furnace. Sometimes we'll get thrown into the fiery furnace and die. But we won't, if we are conquerors. That death can't stop the love of God and the salvation, right, that he's offering. The second death, the lake of fire, will not be a problem for us.
Helps us understand that tree of life, also an eternal spiritual life.
Yeah.
To the church at Pergamum, as I go to Revelation 2 and verse 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it.
I'm so glad you're the one that had to read this one, because I don't know what any of that means.
Well, I will tell you, it sounds good, though, and not bad.
Yes, it does.
When I think of a manna, of course, this is a callback to God's provision for his people in the 40 years of wilderness wandering, that every day they were given bread from heaven. It was a miracle. Manna means, what is it? Okay. And then the Lord takes the manna picture in John 6 to explain that he is the true bread of life.
Right.
And so again, I take this as another picture, a tie into the other writings of John, that here is bread of life. It's another way to talk about an eternal life with the Lord.
I've heard some people say the hidden manna refers to the manna that got kept inside the ark. So it's an idea of being even in that closer fellowship with God.
That holy of holies,
yeah,
place.
Yeah, being in the holy holies. That's cool. The white stone, what's your take on that? Yeah. So if we'd only had the video, everybody's like, seeing it, and you're like, I don't know about that one. Yeah, so
I'm going to key in, I guess, on white.
Yeah.
All right, we've had white garments talked about a lot, so I'm still going to go with a purity and a right relationship with,
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
But stone, I'm not as sure about.
I've heard multiple, I mean, almost every commentary I've ever read said, well, some people say this, some people say that. We don't know which one it is. It's all good. Sometimes, the white stone was if you were on trial, you would be given a white stone if you were justified and declared innocent. You'd be given a black stone if you were.
Okay.
And then other places, it's about if you're running for office, the yes votes were white stones and the no votes were black stones. So receiving a white stone is an indication of being elected. Huh. And a couple of pictures like that. Nobody really knows. But here's the thing. The church at Pergamum knew. And whatever of those issues it was, they're like, yeah, I get it. This is the thing. And I receive this blessing from God. Yeah. And it has the new name written on it.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. It may just be the stone is what is necessary to have an inscription.
Yeah.
A white stone so that I can see what's written on there. And it is this name given, yeah, me by the Lord.
A new identity in,
yeah,
Jesus Christ.
A new identity in Jesus Christ.
A new identity. So fantastic. All right. So I'm going to, I get to go to Thyatira.
Go to Thyatira.
You were about to try to jump in on
I'm
me.
I'm trying
to
turn my Bible page.
All right. So we're still in chapter 2, verse 28. Verse 26. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So this is one that in our modern day, wow, I'm not sure what I think about this one, but it is the rule. It's the reign.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fact that we will get to reign forever and ever, not merely for 1,000 years, but we will get to reign forever and ever with our King. We will have a kingdom that is superior forever and ever. That's the victory. And
yeah,
the morning star. Man, what an incredible thing. I mean, just having that morning star, the day star, that notion of just the bright, shining message and messenger. Remember, this is what stars were meaning earlier, but we get to have that one that's like that's the one that guides, the one,
yeah,
that gives direction, the one that lets us know how to get to the morning, how, yeah, to get to the dawn. That's right. just a powerful thing that's going on there. Can I make one more comment on this one?
Okay.
All of them say the one who conquers. This one actually gives us an indication of how to conquer. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end. I think we need to recognize that's what it means to conquer, to continue with the works that are God's works. And there's been, yeah, a lot of that in these letters.
So this week, as we look at Revelation chapter 3, we've talked about three churches there. As closing words to Sardis, we find in Revelation 3, verse 5, "He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will never erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Again, white garments is something we've seen several times. I appreciate one of the comments that you made earlier this week about them. It was a sign of tremendous wealth to be able to get a garment that was white and to keep it white, so that you are not in that class that's working all the time. And maybe your soap couldn't get something dirty out of that garment anyway. So a powerful picture of purity, wealth, riches. "I will never erase his name from the book of life." Again, foreshadowed to something that's going to be explained later in the book of Revelation with the judgment scene, what's, you know, a white throne judgment it's sometimes called, when books will be open and all the deeds are there written in the books. And of course, then there's another book that's open, the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is written there, then you are saved from the second death. And going along with that, then a confession of the name. There's beautiful pictures of that in Matthew chapter 10, I believe it is, where Jesus warns, "If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. But if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father." And so again, be true to the Lord, and throughout your life, he will confess you to the Father.
Can I just say, pay attention to white garments throughout the rest of the book of Revelation, because okay, we're going to see the martyrs under the altar are given white garments and told to wait a little while. And then we're going to get to the end. And in Revelation 19, when the king riding on the white horse comes out again, the army behind him are those who are clothed in white garments.
Okay.
Powerful, powerful thing. So to Philadelphia. Philadelphia, in verse 12 of chapter 3, "The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is powerful, because as we go through Revelation, we're going to hear about things being written on people's foreheads,
yeah,
and people get into a lot of just arguing on what those things mean.
Right.
These are just seals. These are things that say you're identified with that guy, and that's really bad. Or you can be identified with Jesus, and that's really good. He says the people who overcome, they get something written on them, the name of God, the Jesus' new name, the name of the city of God. It's like, look, it's time to get into the city. Oh yeah, you've got the city tattooed on your forehead. You get to come in. That's the picture here.
The name was written on a white stone for a previous church we talked about. Now we got a name being written on a pillar. I mean, I see these symbols being repeated.
Oh, so you see the name upon. You see the name as being written on the pillar.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it kind of reads that way in the legacy.
Oh, okay. So go ahead and read it there. I just want to hear it. I know we're running out of time, but
problem.
Let's do this fully. Go ahead. What does it say in the legacy?
Verse. Tell me the verse.
12.
12. Okay.
3:12.
Great. "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my God. He will never go out from it anymore, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem." And so if he made you the pillar, and then he wrote on you those things.
Yeah, so it's still on the person. The person's been made the pillar.
Yeah, because the person's the pillar.
So, and the idea of the pillar, I think, is just the issue of being stable and steadfast and there. Now, this is interesting, because we're going to get to the end, and in the city of God, there's no temple, because God is its temple.
Right.
So again, metaphors and pictures, let's not get too distracted by this. Because what this means, because you might be like, oh no, I've gotten to the end and there's no temple. But what he said is I get to be a pillar in the temple, but there's no temple. What am I going to do? Don't get distracted by all that. There's a point of this. The pillar in the temple is there.
Mm-hmm.
It is a part of the temple, and it's not going anywhere. And that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
You're going to be in the city of God, and you're not going anywhere. All right, Laodicea, lay that one on us.
All right, chapter 3, verse 21. "He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne."
Wow. So sitting on the throne. Now, this is interesting, because we see the throne as just the seat, and
right,
it seems like you're sitting in God's lap. The picture of the throne here is not just the seat itself, but the entire the dais, if you will,
okay,
or dais, however you're supposed to say
room.
That. So the stairs leading up, the platform that the throne is on. So very often you'll see in movies or in shows where they're showing you kingdoms. You might have a king and queen sitting in separate chairs, but they're on the same platform.
Right.
They're on the same throne. Or you may have a father and son who are now ruling together, and they're sitting on the same dais. They're sitting there, and that's the idea that we get to be reigning with God as Jesus reigns with God. And that's just a powerful thing. It's that picture of reign. Look, this is the promise. This is the promise. Jesus is saying to his bride, hang on, hang on.
Overcome.
Because this is what you get. This is a battle. It's going to be a fight. And sometimes it's going to look like you're losing. Some of you are even going to die. But hang on, because in the end, Jesus says he's going to win, and it's going to be incredible. These are the promises that we're looking forward to. Thanks so much, Andrew, for being involved in these conversations this week.
I've enjoyed it so much, learned a lot. Let's have a word of prayer. Our great God and Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for the message to the seven churches. And we pray, Father, that we might search out our hearts, the congregations where we are members, and to make good application. But we are greatly strengthened by what we have read today, that in whatever trial or persecution we are facing, we can be faithful. We can overcome by your power and by your grace. And what joyous reward, privilege, and blessing we look forward to for being your people. We want your name on us. We want, Father, white garments. We want to know the tree of life and every other wonderful blessing that we've read about here that you've promised to your people, your church, your bride. We praise you for it. We pray, Father, that you would see us through to the end. We know you will, because you'll never leave us or forsake us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida, this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at christiansmeethere.org. Check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne.